The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take a Stock. It's Monday. It is the 14th of August, 2023, and it is a damp, dreary day outside. The markets are the same. John, is it me or is it just a boring day with lack of news?
It's boring. It's a boring day. Although, at least the weather is nice here. That's the best I can
nice
say
there?
About today. Yeah?
Honestly, it's absolutely been hammering down here.
Sunny Suffolk.
Yeah, maybe we should all move there. And because it's, and in fact, just looking at the markets here, right? Look at that. Not really moving anywhere. FTSE down 0.2%. AIM All Share down 0.25%. It's like, you know what? It's typical. It's literally, they're not even a big fall today. It's just down a little bit. Everything's just, you know, bland. So listen, if you've got anything you want to chat about, first of all, hit that subscribe button because the figures are growing nicely. And this is just a sort of a warm up for when the investing season starts. Because, as you know, the old saying, well, go away in May, come back St. Ledger Day. So it is quiet for the markets anyway, seasonality wise. And so, you know, hit subscribe and we really start gearing up come September. But covering the markets over that. In fact, let's go to comments here because there's a nice couple of comments from last week, John. I think it's worth covering. And we'll go to all the but first of all, David said, I remember John from the IC pods. Oh, those were the days.
A long time ago, yeah.
I used to listen to you on your Investors Chronicle pods. So I used to cycle I used to work at a radio station then in Southampton. I used to cycle in, listen to you on the podcast there. But David said, the clash in philosophy between him and Justin makes it so watchable. I'm glad you say that. I'm glad you said that. Yeah. But so, I mean, you know, I think the thing is, at the end of the day, people want to make money, don't they? And it's like you know, I almost liken it to an international football team. You've got 11 players on the pitch. They're all sort of internationally good, pretty much. But they've all got different styles. I'm not saying we are international good at investing. Yeah, me and you, we are world class. I'm not saying that, but it's always a learning curve. That's why I love investing so much. You're always learning. You know, you invest in a company, it goes completely wrong. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I see that part of it. You know,
I also think, I mean, it's good to have people with different opinions about it. I mean, that's what makes a market, after all. You know, people.
Yeah.
Some people are bulls, some people are bears, and actually, you know, you thrash it out between you, and you hopefully get to something that is the right answer.
Yeah.
You know, being totally bullish, totally bearish, you know, people just, you know, it's never going to get you very far because it doesn't always work like that. And, you know, people have different views on companies. So, you know, how you get to a truth is by debating.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question, Don. At the moment, if you could put your bull bear in percentage terms of where you are at the moment, what percentage are you bearish and bullish? And is the bear in you, I think the bear in you is a bigger percentage, is it, than the
probably 60-40 bear still. I'm sort of, yeah. You know, I would say fairly neutral. I'm, you know, I think we're just in for a period of sort of bumping along the bottom. You know, we have seen some nice rallies in individual shares, but you know, I do genuinely think that there's a lot of companies there that are sort of stuck in a bit of a rut share price wise, and that will remain the case for some time. You know, until we see some real catalysts. You know, and I think the inflation figures are going to be one of those catalysts. And I think what we'll find is that there is a bit of volatility in inflation, which sort of will rattle investors from time to time in the months ahead.
Yeah. So we got CPI data this week, haven't we? I think it's Wednesday, coming out. So that'd be interesting to see, because of course that termings also, you know, gives the Bank of England a steer as to what they'll be doing next. But if you've never commented before on this, please do so now, because there's not much company news. We're going to cover some company news, but we nice to have some comments. So what I want to know is, I mean, do you measure your portfolio performance over time? I mean, did you do it by a quarter or not? Old dog last week said he just wings it pretty much all the time. That's fine, you know. You can get bogged down in analysing, but there's often a saying, is if you don't measure it, you know, you can't. No, what is it? If you don't measure it,
you can't improve it. You can't improve it.
Well, exactly, that's it. Yeah. If I don't even know the saying, so it doesn't bode well. But I do sort of measure my performance, and I have done for a long time, you know, on a spreadsheet. I did get really anal about it, trying to do it once a month. I see investors on Twitter on a daily basis looking at, you know, their performance. That's no point doing that on a daily basis. You've got to extend the time from a bit, quarters to years, I think.
I think we're seeing a bit less of that now. And it was all the rage, though, when the markets were doing a bit better. You know, people would be reporting their daily gains or weekly gains.
Yeah.
And you don't see anywhere near as much of that at the moment for the obvious reason.
Yeah, no, I was doing that. I used to do a video on my quarterly updates, and it was doing so well. Let's boast a bit. I haven't done it for a while, but I've still done very well going back. I've got figures going back to 2009. Mm. And I've done really well since then. Even in the last year, I've sort of halved my value of portfolio. I look at it, I'm still up 2,400% to 2009. And I did a compound annual growth, 28%. Compound annual growth. So pretty I've done good. Very, very well. And you look back at that and it helps sometimes because you think, realize I've done really well. But the last year or 2 years has been really painful. And it's taken away half my gains or close to half my gains.
But you've still got gains. So, you know, that is the nature of markets, ups and downs, you know, rough and smooth. It's, actually, I think on the, you know, importance of measuring, I do think it's important. I think, you know, quarterly's reasonable, but you know, monthly's not, you know, that's not onerous and it's quite realistic. you'll be getting a feel for performance. Things will have changed over the course of a month potentially, so monthly, you know, checking your portfolio and measuring it monthly is not a bad thing. The other question is benchmarks. So what are you measuring it against? You know, is it just absolute numbers? Or is it benchmarks against, say, you know, an index or inflation or whatever it might be? What are you trying to beat? Because if you don't know what you're trying to beat, then what's the point? You know, if you're not beating the market, then why are you investing individually?
Oh, I've smashed the market. I've smashed the market completely.
Exactly.
The market's rubbish. But no, saying that, the market's really smashed me over the last 2 years, so it's fine. But on a quarterly basis, quite good, I think. But sometimes I get depressing. In fact, the last two quarters, I've made money out of the last six, seven, eight quarters. So where 2 years has been. Matthew said, can you look at Reynolds? Matthew's in the Reynolds, RNO. We did look at it. Love Thoughts, seems cheap. Did we cover that last week? And also he says, measurements. I have a live spreadsheet via Google. I do that as well. Measure week v week. I don't do week versus S&P, NASDAQ, All World. I also do year-to-date and annual. Mm. My portfolio is at 18% year-to-date this year, matched the S&P. Well, that is excellent year-to-date, I think, up 18%. Very good indeed. But, Reynolds. So we have a look at the chart. Do you know much about Reynolds, John?
Well, I know it makes chains, but that's... That's kind of about the end of it. Yeah, sexy. So it's a British, you know, nice.
In fact, it could be in some people's.
A niche engineer. Been around a long time. You know, not always been the greatest performer, but something's happened here. You know, this company's.
Yeah. What's the last?
Company's looking pretty good. Had results beginning of mid July, 12th of July. You know, we've seen some really nice growth there. 27% on the top line. PBT up 40%. Really doing nicely. I mean, you know, if it's still the same sort of company that I remember it being, you know, if this is chains, then you know, it's kind of one of those companies that will be in demand. Its products will be in demand even as we go through the energy transition.
Yeah. No, I like that. You see, obviously, in the chart there, you know, it's come down from a high up here, but it's back in 2015. But I mean, it's 84 pence and it's sort of grinded lower. But you can almost see, you know, the golden cross happening here, you know, on this November 20th. And since then, since the Dash for Cash crash, which was April, of course, when everything sold off because the governments are shutting down the economies of the world, it's rallied nicely. And in fact, I think a lot of companies, if you've taken a position on those days, remember the big sell-off when everyone was scared, tin hats on, I think it was one of the biggest, fastest sell-offs ever in the market, then you've done well. But since then, look, from 4 pence, it's now at 30 pence. So, and unbelievable. That's a multi bagging. You wouldn't have thought a company like this would do that. But
well, industrials were massively out of favour. Yeah, they were massively out of favour. So you would have seen a lot of these type of niche engineers, you know, in the doldrums, and say, you know, they're good businesses, and you get the right management in there that can pull the right levers, set it on the cost base, and you know, get the right agreements in place. You know, like bolt-on acquisitions, which they seem to be doing, and you're away. You know, so you know, it's good. It's a good hunting ground. I don't think it's AIM. I think it's main market as well. If I'm right in thinking.
Okay.
And you know, it's why when we think small companies, we often think of AIM. And what we're not thinking about is actually you've got the FTSE Small Cap and fledgling. When there's a lot of interesting companies there.
Yeah. So for now, I mean, it is building. So again, we've had another golden cross here. building nicely. But you want to get above these previous highs, maybe 31, 32, and it's into a new trend there. But say, maybe a bit of profit taken in the first, you know, it shot up there between August 21. Mm. Obviously, some good numbers coming out. And November 21, someone's taking a bit of profit here, or some downgrades, whatever, gapped up. But it's in that range. So now, if it gets above like that 33, 34 level,
yeah,
you can see another nice uptrend there. But it's looking good, yeah.
I'm just looking back. It was 2016. This company was in a bit of a pickle, you know, lots of profit warnings and that sort of stuff. So, you know, big turnaround story there.
Yeah, I do like the phrase "in a bit of a pickle." I wonder if they said that on the financial and the investor meeting after on the calls. Yeah, we're in a bit of a pickle at the moment. But let's go to the front page. In fact, let's cover off a couple of comments from last week. On investment trusts, this is David said, is there any of you guys can think of that do well that have warrants attached? I don't think investment trusts have warrants attached. Do they?
Well, I think anything can have a warrant attached, you know, it's sort of cut, you know, the cut old covered warrants. I haven't seen them for a while. Something I need to go away and look at. They were very popular at one point.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen them for quite some time.
Okay, so he hasn't seen one. In fact, Sandy says that he hasn't seen one for a while. A long time ago, I bought British biotech warrants at 45 pence and sold at 10 quid.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to get into that as well.
If we are talking about the same type of warrants, it was SG, if I remember, that had a big warrant division.
But I
have a feeling they closed it, but I could be wrong. I'll have an investigate.
Yeah. But half again at 15 and the rest at 20. If Destiny Pharma, sorry, you got to mention that. He said, if Destiny had warrants attached, I would be in there like a shot. And he carries on, thanks for your tip. I don't do tips. I just put information out there. I say I'm involved. Do your own research. So, I started buying at 30, added more at 40 and 45. Like the bill of mint. Do you know, I have a second favorite pharma biotech share. Has John got a favorite small cap? I do hold a couple of sort of biotech in that area. And two I haven't actually talked about. I did say with Paul. Paul asked me about them on the last video we did, Hot Stocks. And I said I would mention this week because I was trying to get a position and they were quite illiquid. And I thought if I mention them, I definitely won't be able to get a position because I need to get a position of at least sort of 3% of my total portfolio value. Otherwise, can't move the needle at all. So, but I will mention they're very liquid though. I won't go much above that and they start to gain because I can't get out if it goes wrong. But I will mention them soon.
My favorite, on the question, have I got a favorite small cap? And despite, you know, appearances to the contrary, I do have a fair smattering of small caps in my portfolio, which I've mentioned before. And, you know, where do they range? They range from sort of 70, 40 million, which is facilities by ADF. I like that business. We've talked about them before. You know, going through a bit of a tough time because of the old Hollywood strikes. 10 Lifestyle. Really like that business. Have you ever looked at them?
What were they called, sorry?
10 Lifestyle.
10, no. Yeah, I mentioned them before, I think. Yeah. What's the ticker there? 10, is it?
TNG. T-E-N-G, sorry. T-N-G. 10 Lifestyle. Basically, it's a kind of concierge service. So they work with banks, wealth managers, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And, you know, where they have sort of ultra high net worth clients. And those clients, you know, they want access to things like, you know, film tickets, Taylor Swift concert tickets, you know. Whatever, the Open, Wimbledon, whatever it might be. And basically what 10 Lifestyle does is it procures them for them or it procures them for these customers on behalf of the banks that they bank with. So it's essentially a sort of loyalty tool for banks, and 10 Lifestyle does the back end.
I'm surprised you knew that, John, you know, providing for the elite people with money. It's one rule for them, isn't it? You see all those people having to queue in Wimbledon for 3 days. We often wonder that. How is that? Actually, you never see the celebs or anyone in those queues at Wimbledon. You realise they don't need a queue. Money buys you everything, doesn't it? It's like
The funny thing is, you know. Yeah. So I spoke to the chief exec. There's an interview on the site. Actually, it's definitely worth a watch. Yeah. Chief exec Alex Cheetle, who also founded the business, very very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And you know, it's taken that business a long time to get all the contacts, the networks in place to be able to procure this stuff that these rich, you know, high net worth clients want. And that gives it like a real moat. You know, it's very, very hard to replicate. But as I say, it's taken a while. But now they've got this, I think, you know, people will start waking up to the defensive position that this company offers. It's a nice business. This makes money, you know, which I always like to see. Just a bit off the radar.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, in fact, you're right, Matthew. Matthew said, boring and not sexy are the best winners. Mm. They are not in beauty competitions, though.
I mean, 10 Lives, though, you know, these are companies, the small caps I like, they are not sexy businesses, you know. Yeah. Film trucks for, you know, Hollywood actors or, you know, procuring Wimbledon tickets. This is not a sexy business. You know, this isn't high growth. You know, I'll say it is high growth stuff, but it's not, you know, binary biotech type stuff. I like HVivo in that space because it isn't dependent upon binary outcomes. I like H&T. It's a pawnbroker. And there's a reason I like that. And that's because, you know, I think that the rich poor divide is growing in this country.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say, it's good. A couple of trading days for Held. Hellenic Dynamics, of course, they are a cultivated supply of finished pharmaceutical standards using cannabis. There's a lot of companies in this space, actually. The more I discover, there's quite a few in this space. I've never really got into the space. I don't really know how competitive it is, the regulation involved. It seems a lot, very complex. I know in America or Canada, when the listed companies there went through a boom period, and then all of a sudden the market was flooded with competitors, you know, and peers. So it didn't do it well. So I've never really known that. But the chart there, look at that first day of dealing source in December. It's still below that, if you look at that. But seems to have a nice breakout today. You get that. It's almost seller exhaustion. And a couple of buys comes in. And in fact, what's the volume there, Dave? What, 57? Oh, that I was going to say, 57 million. But the share price is 0.022. So it's not as much in thing.
I think the medicinal cannabinoids market is I mean, it's definitely one that is set to grow.
MGX have something the other day?
MGC Pharma, yeah, they did. They're obviously doing similar things. They're also starting to work with psilocybin, which we discussed before, more commonly known as magic mushrooms.
I've read a lot about that, you know, and it's very interesting. A lot of investment going into it, and it does seem to be helping. There's a lot of trials going on about, you know, it combating depression, especially post-traumatic
PTSD, stress. Yeah.
The people have an army. So they've done a successful completion of preclinical chronic toxicology evaluation at Symetra delivers positive results supporting previous preclinical data. So let's take their chart has been a nightmare there. They've gone down and down and down. MCX, MXC.
I think they need a bit of money. I think funding is the problem.
Look at that. Literally, you know, that's the hype there. 9 pence and now down at 0.14. They don't raise money recently.
They did. I don't think they raised a lot, though. No. Which is, you know, indicative of the difficult market conditions we have.
Yeah.
And you can only think that they're gonna need more. They have got some really nice products in development. Yeah. And I do like, you know, this sort of plant based medicine space. There's another one we looked at recently, Oxford Cannabinoids, which is again, obviously cannabinoids, but they are in phase one trials for one of their compounds, which is essentially pain management.
Okay.
This stuff works. The problem, you know, the difference is you could pop up to the corner and buy yourself a bag of weed, which is what a lot of people have to do if they want to use this stuff. To relieve pain at the moment, this all has to go through proper clinical trials. You know, so they have the same issues as any other drug developer.
Yeah. One final comment. Clarendon, any good entry point for NTQ? Company looks good. You mentioned this last week, John. What are they doing? I've forgotten. Is it like a new kind of fracking technology?
It's fracking technology, yeah. It's directional drilling.
And even though they didn't say that in there, it's so funny. It didn't say that in the thing. It's fracking tech. But literally the share price is diving a little bit. What's happening there? It's not looking promising. But
no,
I would want to see, like I said, what I look for sometimes is a break that 50 and then trading above previous highs. So, I mean, it's got to get above 9.5 really to start seeing, you know, the end of that downtrend. It did do it there on that trading update, obviously, I think, that we had, or that news, and then it's come back down. So sellers come in somewhere and dumped it. And that's when it starts to rise and sustainably rise, you can see then that there's net demand for shares and the sellers have dried up a bit. So, but you often get that. People, you know, stale bulls getting out on news. It's a liquidity event that allows them to get out. And so you've got to be careful that doesn't happen. Otherwise, you just, you know, go back down essentially.
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying about this company, what I like is, you know, whilst it has a, you know, it's sort of developing sort of cutting edge tech, you know, it is still making money. It's making, you know, $4.9 million at the half year, 6 months ended 3rd of September. You know, losses are relatively small for a developer of cutting edge technology. So yeah, it sort of seems to be balancing, you know, selling existing products and developing exciting new ones. This latest development, this Saber product that's developing is basically what I said last week. But I should elaborate. It allows drilling at very, very high temperatures. So what that means is that it can be used for methane drilling.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, as a potential to disrupt rotary steerable systems.
Yeah.
A market greater than $2 billion per annum. So it's a nice bit of market there. Let's go to the front page here quickly. So at the top there, we've got Victor Tech Capital's innovative eyewear unveils version 2 of his ChatGPT app for smart eyewear. Even though I quite like that idea, how much, you know, technology you need in a pair of glasses? Does it need ChatGPT in them? I don't know. For me, glasses, you just be wearing glasses so I can see the telly. I wear glasses these days, right, because I can't, I've looked at the computer so long in my life. If anything comes up on TV with some text in, I can't read it, so I check glasses on. What do I need smart eyewear for? That's, you know, is there a huge need for that? I mean, Google Glass tried it and it didn't pull it off. So
I mean, Google Glass was a hideous product. I mean, it looked absolutely horrendous. I think Apple's launched something recently. Obviously, you've got the VR stuff, but that's slightly different. There's like augmented reality. So, you know, you see, but you've also got information being presented to you at the same time, which sounds great. I only ever use my glasses for driving. I'm not pretty sure what the rules would be, having all sorts of information popping up in front of your eyes while you're trying to watch the road.
Yeah, that's it. It's distracting. I lose my memory going from the bathroom to the kitchen sometimes. So I've got these things in my eyes, all this information coming up. I wonder where I'm going. It's like bumping into the walls. But it is interesting tech. And, you know, we talked about Rockfort last week as well. They got a bit of news out today.
Yeah, more patents.
Okay. And they're in, obviously, cancer as well, and the expansion of, you know, portfolio there in the cancer. So novel.
Yeah.
Anti-cancer RNA, it loses me. But
mRNA.
mRNA. They've done trials in vitro, which is in the test tube, basically, and in vivo, which is in animals, little living creatures. So that's going on. They said the study demonstrated efficacy with the company's MDAKI RNA. I can't even say that. Oligonucleotides.
Never try and pronounce anything pharmaceutical. Live on air.
All I want to know, is it working? I suppose they've got to show off with the big names now again, but yeah. But is it? What is this? 10 million market cap now, I think it is? Yeah, 10.65.
It's not big, no. mRNA is an interesting technology. It's obviously the mRNA was the technology behind a lot of the vaccines that were released, the COVID vaccines that saved the world. You know, that allowed us to reopen again with only massive damage rather than catastrophic damage to the global economy. You know, and one of the things that was always said about mRNA was that it could potentially be then applied. You know, this was the live test, and now, you know, it would be applied to other you know, disease areas. And so this is good to see. Big market.
Yeah, a typical example here. So, you know, a couple of times this has broken up the 50-day moving average and then gone back down. And so what you need to see, like I said, is a break above the 50-day and previous highs. So this is previous highs here, and it's got above that. So that's nice now. So hopefully the downtrend in this has stopped. Maybe you'll see, may have to go sideways for a while, because that's quite an aggressive re-rate there over the last trade. It may have to go sideways, but it probably has seen the lows are behind it, hopefully.
Yeah,
I mean, depending on how much cash they've got, of course, they always need cash.
Willie should have a look at that. It's potentially fantastic technology. It's a really important treatment area. They're targeting breast cancer, particularly something called MIDKIND, which is basically behind metastasis. Mm-hmm. Which is a big killer when it comes to breast cancer.
Yeah, okay. Most followed companies here, with AFC's up top there. Of course, we've covered that quite a few times. Hydrogen as well. In fact, two hydrogens there up top. Ektek. Well, in fact, we didn't look at NTQ because just the chart on that. See, we're... No, we did look at the chart. See, don't make me having smart glasses. I can't even remember what we did last 5 minutes.
I'll tell you why all the hydrogen companies up the top, because we put out a nice report on them at the end of last week. Green companies in the business of producing green hydrogen in particular. So in fact, all of those companies are the companies in the report, Lauren wrote. It's great, really good report, really good look at some of the technologies going on there, and some interesting looking companies. As I said, I think hydrogen will have an important role to play, and we're past the hype cycle. We're in the sort of trough of disillusionment, and I think we start to get back up towards a sort of a real pragmatic assessment of hydrogen and what it's going to do in the transition.
Yeah, be careful you don't buy at the top of the hype cycle, because you can do it for a long, painful time. I saw one of those news out today from one of those on that list is ITM. It's basically they've agreed to sell Motive Fuels Limited. Mm. This is when ITM, previous and the previous management, went in all different directions. And you could, when the money's coming into the market like that and everyone's chucking money at you, you can try and do everything. But all of a sudden, once the market turns, you have to focus and conserve cash. And so they've signed a non-binding heads of terms agreement for the sale of that part of the company. It'll save them about 30 million, they reckon, or something like that, or 28 million. 28 million.
Yeah.
So that they're more focused on that. But
they still have an awful lot of cash. But focus is good. I mean, it's something that, you know, I read something. I can't remember who said it. It might have been Terry Smith of Fundsmith. But he was suggesting that, you know, because when we're in a cheap, you know, zero interest rate environment, you know, there were just pox walls of money. To chuck at things, and so capital gets misallocated quite often.
Yes,
and that can happen within a portfolio or within a business itself. So, as you say, you know, sometimes tough times prompt they demand a refocus, a focus, and then you start to see businesses come into their own. Focus is massively important.
Yeah, ITM, of course, the most shorted company in the UK. That's apart from the hype, is why I hold a little bit of stock, not a lot. But I just want to see what happens. They start moving up. The shorts close. You normally could get, you know, a quite aggressive re-rate of the shorts after buying their stock back up. But we'll see, because they said, how long will the cash last? Well, they got a lot of cash, I suppose, but about 2 years of cash, I think, at current cash burn. Helium One Global. They're saying now, basically, it's an operation update on the phase two drilling program there. It's in Tanzania. And Lorna Blasey said, Helium One is now another step closer to commencing our drilling program at Tai C. There we are.
And, important stuff, Helium. Important stuff. It's not just balloons that we need this for.
Yeah, no, they came on the podcast when they first, I think, IPO'd, I think it was. And the new CEO came on the podcast and was saying about the deficit, the problem with the lack of, you know, helium supplies on the world. And I was surprised when I didn't realize that the market was so tight there.
It's really tight. Really, really tight.
Yeah, we're wasting it on kids' balloons.
We are.
That, for heaven's sake. More important things in life. So
what's more important than a balloon?
Yeah, exactly. That's nice. It's broken up there, but previous highs, and almost like in this trading range here now. So maybe it's a breakout above that. So cool. What else is on there? Anything else? Have you seen anything on here, John, that you looked at? Any news?
The one that jumps out at me, mainly because it's the biggest fall of the day, Harvest Minerals.
They're down 29%. You know, I did see this, and they say further to the Q2 sales update announced on the 30th of June. When the company noted a drop in fertilizer sales and prices, Harvest regrettably, you don't want that.
You never want to say the word regrettably in an R&S.
Reports if sales for July remain below revised internal expectations, and then it recorded 3K. So they did say here, this is one of the sentence I looked at, market observers are widely predicting that fertilizer demand is expected to improve throughout the remainder of the year. However, given the volatile market conditions experienced to date, there've been only 4.5 months left at the end of the year. The company has revised again its 2023 invoice sales target to 70,000 tons from 120,000. So almost halving their estimates there. So
it's a big downgrade. It's hard to understand what's going on in this market. I mean, you know, during the the supply chain crisis and obviously the start of Ukraine. What there were big fears that we didn't have enough fertilizer. You know,
well, that's the chart there. I mean, that's the start of that. Everyone's getting into fertilizer. I remember
getting into fertilizer. Get out of fertilizer. It's like a scene from Trading Places.
But again, if you're sitting on the sidelines there, again, it'll be once we start getting back into GDP growing around the world, and the recession fears easing. This is a very good leverage play, fertilizer plays, because you need more of that, of course, going forward. So if you're in, it's not a good thing. But if you're on the sidelines and look at the market, maybe it'll do well.
Yeah, once I have a look at it, it's, you know, because I mean, fertilizer is important, obviously. Yeah. So once I probably have a look at, given that that price is so depressed. But today's statement, I mean, you're catching a falling knife there at the moment. It's that's horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of these are pretty much riding on no news apart from Global Petroleum. They're a tiddler, a nanocap, but they've got the Namibia license update here for the drilling, the approval to enter the phase license of PEL Namibia. I don't know how big that is, whatever it is, but Peter Hill's very pleased with that. He says they're CEO. What else was there? It was one of the videos. Oh, yeah. On the market, on the beach, I mean. Obviously, it's taken I did have these. I thought we could do well after COVID, and they raised money at the right time. Like I said, they had loads of cash, and they did the next update. They'd spend a lot of money on marketing, so you've probably heard their adverts or saw them on TV. And like I said, you need to spend a lot of money to get your head above the parapet, to get in people's head spaces when they're booking holidays. And so, you know, on those results, they just came all the way down. And they're now down at they're all time lows, I think. Yeah, there's a change of management here, but it's in the founder, as I think the founder here, Simon Cooper, who was the founder director, NED of On the Beach, has notified the company that he's purchased 2.8 million shares of the company at 88 pence. So that's 2.4 million quid's worth. Following that purchase, they have an interest of 7.5%. So you can see why it's risen a bit. Well, in fact, let's put volume on here. In fact, look at that. Was that. When did he buy those? Was it August the 8th? Did it say there? Didn't say, is it? Oh, yeah. It should say a date, shouldn't it? But 11th of August, you know, it's by. But yeah, you see that's why it's risen. But I don't know if it's going to. It needs to get above. In fact, see that line I put in here? You can see that's almost the breakdown. There's a support that's broken down through that. And now, due to these purchases, back above that. So maybe it'll go sideways, go up there. But I was impressed by their update.
It's hard to see why it's doing so badly, though. I mean, the shares are very cheap. As I said, there's other companies in the sector that are really benefiting from recovery, not least Jet2. I don't really understand why the shares have sold off quite so much. It's a strange, I'm just looking at the broker consensus. You've got five buys, five holds and a sell. I'll tell you what, it's very rare to see a sell on a stock from the analysts. Very rare.
Yeah. Someone's been annoyed by them or something. Okay, so that though is almost a breakdown there. Bear sell-off is coming back into range now. So may it's above the 15 moving average. It would, I'd say it wants to get above this 105 level maybe, and then maybe it's off to the races.
Yeah.
Or off on holidays. Who knows? That's it, really. Just one thing. There was very different news around, even macro news today. It's almost like the entire world, or, you know, business journalists had a big weekend and they couldn't be bothered to write anything on Monday morning. But there's one thing I did see. I don't know if you saw that, but wages are basically about 40% of employers have made counter offers to keep hold of staff tempted by higher wages from rivals in the past. They surveyed 2,000 employees, but it did say, 38% made a deal that matched the salary promised by the new firm. However, 40% were offered even higher wages. Meanwhile, companies expect to raise pay by 5% over the next 12 months.
There you go. So there is another sort of upward inflationary pressure.
Yeah.
Greedy employees.
Exactly. Take Andrew Bailey's advice, everyone.
Yeah,
do not take a pay rise.
Stop asking for pay rises.
Yeah, yes, I'm on 800 grand a year, yes, but you don't take a pay rise, mind.
Yeah, no, it is. We've talked about this before, but again, it's sort of, you know, there is a swing in power from capital to labour. So you know, that is inflationary. That will be inflationary. Yeah. So that's why I, you know, go back to what I said at the beginning, which is why I think, you know, the inflationary pressures in the system have not entirely gone away, and wages is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you think what it does...
When we talk about our inflation, right? If you look at something like Turkey, that's 50% inflation or something ridiculous. Right, they were at 80%. How do they still function then? I don't understand how people... You know, we're talking about... pasta's gone up by, like, 40% this year or 10% now. Or in fact, what is it? Food inflation is about 20%. They're at... You know, and that's food inflation. Their inflation levels are way above 50%.
I think,
How do they even function?
Who knows?
Go to the shops and buy something, they've got 50% every year for the last 5 years.
You've got to take your million lira note. So yeah, it is tricky. As I say, I think, you know, think of the impact of wages, increased wages on companies' bottom lines as well. You know, that eats its profit.
Research says, we did have a look at the ATN last week at Aterion, and we did say it's a good deal. You know, the Rio Tinto signed up with them for a look at their lithium things, because that's almost, you know, when you get massive companies like that signing up for small companies, there must be sense of interest there, you know, beyond, because you see many companies on AIM pumping out their assets and we got lithium. But when you really get a major coming in looking at your asset, that's sort of good news, because they do a lot of due diligence. GMR, any comments on director dealings and size of buys? What's GMR? Any idea? Okay, we may have to look at those tomorrow.
Gaming Realms. We'll have a look at that tomorrow.
Do us a favour, if you hit that subscribe button, we will definitely look at it tomorrow, okay? Renju and Rhys, hit the subscribe button, all of you. If you have, and I check now who hasn't hit the subscribe button, and I'll personally get back to you. But that's it for Take a Stock. Speak tomorrow. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for joining. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.